Living God, through the reading of your scripture and the power of your spirit, may we, because of your word, hear for ourselves and believe that Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. Amen. When I was young, a favourite expression in our household was, God helps those who help themselves. It was especially said by my grandmother, who was a Scot, whose family had immigrated to New Zealand because they thought their local kirk in Scotland had become far too liberal. Now, we were a family who attended the local Presbyterian church, and I'm not sure how the adults thought that this expression fitted in theologically with God's grace, but it was certainly a common thought of the times. Everyone had the opportunity to pull themselves up by their own socks. Fortunately, we've changed in our views over the last 50 years, and there are now far more structures in place for vulnerable people who are in need of help, and far more understanding that many people are indeed in need of help, and we as a society have the responsibility to care for them. There is still, of course, a long way to go, as there always will be. As I listened to the radio this week with the current local debate on community housing, for example, and the continued inequality of the average life ages for Indigenous and other Australians. I name just two. When I think back to my expression, I have to admit that God helping those who help themselves did tend to be brandished to me as I was complaining about it being my turn to clear the table, or trying to get out of tidying my room or other chores. So maybe in that sense it was justified. I remembered it when I was meditating on the readings for today, especially Ezekiel and the Gospel. Paul does speak of it in the Romans reading as well, when he talks about life in the flesh and life in the spirit. But if there's any situation in which you can't help yourself, surely it's when you're only dry bones, or when you've been in the grave for 4 days. By that stage, there's nothing you can do to change your situation, but these readings tell us that the situation can be changed by God. As we read in Ezekiel, God was creating a picture of life for the people of Israel, who'd been cut off completely from their Lord God. But what a picture for all of us, for any of us, for whom so much has gone wrong simply because we've found we can't help ourselves. We can't help ourselves either through choice or circumstance, and everything seems lost. From dust we came and to dust we will return, we are reminded on the first day of Lent. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice, our psalm cries. Today's stories shout out to us that it isn't within our own power, within human power, to save ourselves when all is lost. When we sin, when we turn our back on God and choose to believe that we have all the answers for ourselves, what can we do, we ask ourselves, and we can only see desolation and death in front of us. What could we have done differently? How could we have helped ourselves? The answer is clearly, we couldn't. Can these bones live? Today's stories invite us to think about life and death. Can the power of life overcome the reality of death? In the beginning, God spoke and the world was formed. In the beginning, the Spirit of God hovered over the world and life blossomed. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord, Lord, hear my voice. Prophesy to these bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. You shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord. God speaks and God creates life. If God gives life, how then do we understand death? Is death the opposite of life? Is it the end of life? If we call life a gift from God, then when we die, is that gift removed from us? Does it end? Does God only have the power of life for a certain period of time? Then death wins. Is death then the ultimate decider of God's grace? One of the things that most often separate people of faith from people of no faith is the understanding of death. What happens when your heart stops beating and your lungs stop breathing? What do you think death is? Do you see it as something that will separate you from God? Is God and death in a continual struggle, as it were, over each of our souls, which was won by Jesus being raised from the dead? In one of the most oft-heard scriptures at funerals, we read from Ecclesiastes that there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die. It would seem that being born and dying are both seasons. We can perceive life as a season, but what about death? Both Ezekiel and the gospel today suggest that there's a different relationship between death and God. Rather than fighting with death for the souls of the dying, it seems that God is the God of all life, including death. That is, even death is held within the divine. God tells Ezekiel that God is opening up the graves, raising the people from them. For God to be able to do that, to restore life, suggests that life and death are both held within God's domain. God is the Lord of both places. And this is even more apparent in the story of Lazarus. By raising Lazarus, Jesus is showing that God has greater supremacy over death than even just on the last day, which was what the common understanding was. But instead, that power over death is available for God whenever God chooses. For the people in Bethany, even the disciples, death seemed to be the undefeatable obstacle. Some of them thought Jesus could have kept him from dying, but the possibility of anything else was simply unthought of. No one expects that life can come out of death. No one understood Jesus to be God's life-giving power. "I am the resurrection and the life," says Jesus. "Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live." Our readings all through Lent have offered us a challenge. Where will we look for guidance in our lives? God has made us with the ability to choose how to live. Does that mean that God only helps those who help themselves? Until now, our readings have concentrated on living, on how we will choose to experience life, with God or on our own. But today, we're offered a glimpse that life is much more than 70 years and 10. That living and dying are both within the realm of our Lord God. Dry bones and a man in a tomb, both are still within God's love and power. That's a captivating thought to take us to next Sunday into the story of Jesus' passion. In the midst of a valley filled with bones, amidst the stench of a tomb's death and decay, a voice cries out in the name of life, and life comes forth. These are the stories we're told. Are they the stories we'll trust? Are they the stories we will live by?